Go here, there, and everywhere with Jeff Blair. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. He's kind of a big deal, just not quite big enough to get his name in the title of the show. This is The Jeff Blair Show with Stephen Brunt and Jeff Blair. Drop that low. On Toronto Sports Radio, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, we're going to look ahead to the playoffs. Before we do that, we're going to wrap up the regular season, especially that final series against Tampa and that series against Baltimore. I mean, Brunt and I were talking before the show, and I think we're both on the same page here. I didn't read a great deal into anything that happened yesterday. I didn't read a great deal into anything that happened to Baltimore after the Blue Jays clinched. You know, folks, if you want to complain about the Jays losing home field advantage, they lost it on Saturday, and they lost it in a game where all the regulars played. There was nothing funky about that game. John Gibbons had his closer in the game at the right time. Guess what? The closer blew a save. That happens. That was when home field advantage was lost for the Toronto Blue Jays effectively. Yesterday, Mark Burley, all that stuff, absolutely meaningless. But I am going to ask you, Stephen Brunt and I will talk about this. We will throw out this question. Because I understand there's a lot of angst out there right now about how the Blue Jays finished the regular season. I want to hear from people who think that the way the Blue Jays finished the regular season is an absolute total irrelevancy. I also want to hear from people who think that maybe there's something there. Maybe we saw a little bit of some sort of soft white underbelly on the part of the Blue Jays. I don't think that's the case, but I know some of you do. It's your chance to have your say.
The Jeff Blair Show is on the air on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Join the conversation with Jeff on Twitter using the hashtag Blair Show or call 416-870-0590. Now, here's Jeff Blair.
All right, welcome to the Jeff Blair Show with Stephen Brunt. We are getting ready for the playoffs. This much we know, the Jays will play the Texas Rangers Thursday and Friday at the Rogers Center. We do not know the start time yet. That will depend on who wins the wild card game, frankly. Or I would think that would be part of the equation. You know very well that if the New York Yankees win the wild card game, Major League Baseball is going to want the Yankees in prime time. Such is the reality of the situation. Jays and Rangers, Jays did not get home field advantage. That went to the Kansas City Royals. I know a lot of people view that as a talking point. Stephen Brunt, home field advantage would have been great throughout the playoffs because in the first round, it does mean that you get to see a team that has burned its best starting pitcher. It'll be Dallas Keuchel and Masahiro Tanaka in the wild card game. So therefore, Kansas City is going to get somebody's second best pitcher as opposed to their best pitcher. It figures that the Blue Jays, it might be a little different with the Blue Jays, although there's some sense that Cole Hamels probably won't start till game two for Texas. But just your take, Stephen, on home field advantage. I mean, it was lost Saturday, wasn't it? That's when it was lost.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, Jeff. The Baltimore games were what they were, right? And I understand after clinching that you're not going to field a full lineup in that circumstance because you don't have to. And even in the game the day, not never mind the second half of the doubleheader, but the game the day after, it's rainy and it's wet and it's supposed to be a noon start. So I understand. And you can afford to give those games away essentially because if your fate is still in your own hands going into the weekend. But yeah, Osuna blowing up on Saturday changes everything in terms of yesterday. They decide to make the sentimental gesture to Mark Burley. Though they don't make that gesture if they still, again, they're also understanding that Minnesota's out.
Yep.
You know, Kansas City's going to get probably a second-rate Minnesota team, and they got a fourth-rate Minnesota team or lineup to play on Sunday. You kind of, the die is cast at that point. And, you know, it's more than home. I guess the one thing I'd say is that more than home field, the Texas matchup, which, again, wasn't certain until yesterday, is a trickier one for these guys than I think either of Houston or the Yankees would have been. But, all of that kind of stuff, my entire life around baseball would suggest that the more you try and anticipate, matchups, home field, try and, you know, assume that patterns established over the regular season are necessarily going to follow in the postseason, you tend to be wrong. I think there's a lot of crapshoot going into the postseason, and as you know, as in the case of, you know, any discussion about momentum and whatever that means, I don't think momentum exists in baseball. You know, I don't really think it's a thing. I think confidence exists, but this Toronto team is a very, very confident baseball team right now because they know they're good and they know who's going to be starting. If they lose to Texas in the LDS, then of course there's going to be all kinds of Monday morning quarterbacking. But I just don't think that whatever happens in this series, the last 4 days have been definitive.
Well, and I mean, I'll go even further than that. I think there will be Monday morning quarterbacking. But if the Blue Jays were to, let's say, lose to Texas in five, which means the fifth game would be here, I don't know how much Monday morning quarterbacking there could really be because their home field advantage didn't help you. I understand the opponent.
Yeah, the opponent.
And you would probably, although, I got to tell you, I keep thinking about the Yankees and how many good games I saw the Yankees pitch against the Jays and how so many of the Yankees hitters hit so well in this ballpark. In some ways, I guess I'd almost rather take my chances with Texas, although Texas really went on a finishing kick, and they're probably the informed team. I guess it's the closest to an informed team, along with the Blue Jays, in the American League. I thought about Mark Burley yesterday. I've got to admit, if I'm John Gibbons, my initial reaction would have been to not start Mark Burley. If I'm Mark Burley, I might have gone to John Gibbons and said, you know what, Skip, I mean, thanks, but let's just, you know, just have your bullpen day and let's move on. But this gets down to something you mentioned when we were off the air. This gets down, I think, to John Gibbons knowing his clubhouse. And you read some of the comments from some of the players about starting Mark Burley, and I think we know Jose Bautista well enough to say that Jose Bautista probably wouldn't just spew, you know, utter nonsense about it being important unless he actually thought it was important.
It's not his nature to do that. Yeah.
It's not his nature to answer in the affirmative all the time. I just got a sense that this is what the clubhouse wanted. I think you saw it on the field by the way the players reacted to the errors. Certainly Edwin looked like he was ready to beat himself up. It just seems to me that John Gibbons sat down and thought, you know, this is the right thing to do. I think you're right. I think Saturday in some ways freed, maybe made the decision a little easier for him.
Yeah, I don't know what you do. I don't know what you do if they don't lose Saturday. I'm not entirely sure because you don't, you know, if you really want to win the game, you're probably starting somebody on short rest.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that makes any sense, but you could probably get away with it with the off days and it wouldn't have, especially with a guy like Dickey. If that's what you've done, probably
you could probably sell it easier.
Yeah, you probably sell it easier. Maybe that's what you do. But you know, there are a couple of I think John Gibbons had to probably take the temperature of the room and understand what, you know, rather than trotting out, you know, Jeff Francis et al. To close out the season. I think there was kind of probably a what the heck. You know, he's not going to be on the postseason roster.
That was my next
point.
Maybe
the last start of his career. You don't know. I think he's probably going to. He kind of sounds like he might wind up somewhere next year pitching. Kind of sounds like he wants to. Don't think it'll be here. Don't think there's any way it'll be here. But give the guy, you know, and history matters in baseball. You know that there is, and it's not a cheese ball accomplishment. It is one of those ones where it stacks up. It does. It is a meaningful stat, and it's a very short list of guys who've done it. So I thought it was probably the right gesture. It was the right gesture in the room. It didn't work out. If the defense had been perfect, maybe he would have. You know, he didn't have much. He had almost nothing. But
yeah, people were really down in the Jays defense. But let's be honest, the ball was in play, as Felipe Alou would say. The ball was in play a great deal.
The ball was in play a great deal.
And the more a ball is in play, the greater the likelihood of bad stuff happening.
Yeah, he wasn't gonna fool anybody yesterday. But it, you know, sort of like the any discussion about David Price not getting another start. You know, I assume David Price, if he'd wanted another start, if he'd wanted four innings to kind of, if that he thought that was the best way to prepare for the postseason, he would have done it, and John Gibbons would have said, "Sure, yeah, we'll slot you in here. You can shake out the cobwebs. You tell me how many pitches you want to throw, and I'll get you out of there." You know, the reason David Price didn't pitch again is because David Price didn't want to pitch again. You know, that he thought the best alternative for him and his arm and his emotional state going into the postseason, where he's not, you know, been 100% great over his career, was to take the extra time and throw a little bit of side session, throw some live BP for somebody, and get ready that way. You know, that's, I think that kind of stuff pays, well, whether it pays dividends and wins, we're going to have to see. They still got to play the games. But I think John Gibbons has got to kind of listen to the veteran leadership in that room a little bit in these circumstances, because it's not, you know, honestly, Jeff, it's not life and death. They won the pennant.
Yeah.
Right? They accomplished job one. And, you know, I think everybody's got to kind of relax on this.
Yeah. And again, I get back to Saturday's game was really the game that, that did them in. If you look, if you're looking for a concern, I guess if you really want to look for a concern, if you want something to worry about for the next 4 days, maybe Roberto Osuna. But, I mean, that happens. Closers blow games. The body of work this year has been really good for Roberto Osuna.
What I don't worry about is Roberto Osuna then freaking out and saying, oh my God, I've lost it, and then showing up in a postseason game and saying, boy, I've never been in the postseason. The lights are very bright here. I am terrified. With Roberto Osuna, I don't think is going to be an issue.
No.
Is somebody occasionally going to turn around one of his fastballs? Yep. You know, it can happen. Is he going to make the odd mistake? And they all do, right? Mm-hmm. They absolutely all do. But I'm not, of all the stuff I would worry about with the Toronto Blue Jays, he would not be at the top of the list. I think he'll be just fine.
Yeah, and there's a sense out there that he's kind of been on fumes lately. And you know, really, just looking at his game-by-game breakdown, there was game against Boston and back-to-back games against New York where he gave up a couple of hits. He hadn't given up a hit in two games before the Tampa Bay thing. Like I don't see a disturbing trend here. I guess if you really want to see a disturbing trend, he's been hit a five of his last 10 games.
I'd have to go and look at those. I know some of those games, though, Jeff, he was pitching with a little bit of a cushion.
Yes.
And he was aggressive.
That's right.
Right, which is what you want a guy to do. You know, if you've got a three-run lead, you know, you want a guy to go up there and there's nobody on base, go up there and throw strikes.
Yeah.
And occasionally, so you give up a solo home run, well, that's fine. You know, I'd rather, you want the guy, you don't want him nibbling around the edges. You want him to be aggressive. And I think in some of those, as I remember, that's exactly what he was doing.
Right, and further to your point, just looking at David Price, and I think this is something that maybe, you know, needs to be touched on. If you look at David Price's splits, he's had a couple of starts recently where he was hit hard, and I think this is a thing where you rely on the manager, you rely on the pitching coach, you rely on the pitcher. You know, and people are worried about the Cy Young Award. I mean, I told people the Cy Young Award was not going to be determined whether or not David Price started. As it turns out, he wins the American League ERA title. So I guess what I'm getting at is, in some ways, the way this season wound down was a product of the schedule, that doubleheader, the rain delay. It kind of played out the way I thought it was going to play out, to be honest. It really did.
And I still think that, you know, all things considered, if they had to play at 100%, full speed, right to the wire, to say win the division, maybe there'd be a bit of an emotional thing where they would ride into the postseason kind of fresh. But I think the wear and tear, this they got a long way to go here.
Mm-hmm.
See, and again, it's been a long time since we've dealt with actual postseason baseball in this city.
Yep.
But they got a long way to go. And you might need David Price twice in the division series, never mind anything else. So, you know, you might need David Price 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 more times. Well, Lord knows, maybe seven more times.
David Price, in his last five starts, two of them didn't make it out of the sixth inning. And he's given up 8 earned runs during that time. So
give him a breather. And, yep. You know, he should be as fresh as he can be at this stage in the season with that many innings pitched this year. But, you know, this is a good baseball team. This is a really good baseball team. It's, you know, it's not going to live and die even on David Price. You know, it's got a, if you put their lineup and their rotation and everything else about them up against everyone else in baseball right now, you can make the case that, you know, aside from you get interesting debate about St. Louis, but they ought to beat everybody else. You know, that doesn't mean they will. Short series, all of that stuff, all the cliches apply. But there's no reason to go into this postseason wringing your hands, you know, and kind of waiting for the sky to fall. I know that's the tendency, and I know that's been the tendency all year. Go back. It's funny. Go back and read some of the things. You know, go back and read a comment stream under a story from the middle of July, the end of July, the middle of August, the end of August, and look at all the things that could have were supposed to go wrong and couldn't possibly happen.
Yeah. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. We'll get to your calls. We're asking the question because this is the last time we're going to deal with what happened down the stretch. Did you see something there that concerned you? I mean, are you part of the group of fans that has a lot of concern going into the postseason as a result of what you saw in those four games? John Paul Morosi is a national baseball writer for Fox Sports. He joins us. John, should people be concerned at all about how the Blue Jays went into the or are going into the postseason?
Maybe a little bit, Jeff. Maybe just a little bit. I think that, first of all, I would want to absolve John Gibbons of any conversation about, well, should he have rested the regulars in back-to-back games? I mean, to me, that was a no-brainer. I think, obviously, they were not going to play in the second half of the doubleheader, the night of the clincher, and then it's been baseball custom forever, and the veterans, I'm sure, were expecting it, that they would get the next day off. So, and they did. And I think that was deserved as well when you have what I believe is, at last time I checked, the second oldest roster in the major leagues. I mean, this is on average age. I think it's the second oldest after only the Royals. So this is an older roster that I think certainly needed a bit of a break. Did they enter the postseason with a lot of momentum? No, obviously. But I think overall it was more important to get a little bit of a breather for these guys down the stretch than it was to really keep the accelerator on. The one concern I'll have for you guys is that now all of a sudden they clinched the division, I believe it was Wednesday night. So now you basically go a week without playing a game that truly, and obviously, you know, even before then, they probably had a sense it was coming, obviously. So they haven't had to play a desperate baseball game in a while. And I do think that the Rangers obviously had to play one yesterday. So I think sometimes you lose a little bit of that sharpness just because of the fact that, that you clinch a little bit earlier and maybe you have things wrapped up. So that's maybe part of the concern, but I think overall, on measure, you had to get that rest time for your older players.
In watching baseball, John, is there anything that you would discern as a pattern in terms of teams? What teams, when teams thrive in the postseason? You know, the way they finish the season has to do with how they, and like I'm thinking I can come up with examples that would essentially support any position, you know, that it matters, that it doesn't matter, that, you know, that it's better to play the wild card game because you're fresher, that it's worse to play the wild card game because you got to use your best pitcher there. But do you have any kind of rule of thumb in terms of who thrives in the postseason and who doesn't?
I do a little bit, Stephen. And to your point about the wild card game, I think I may have mentioned this before, that the wild card game winners since the new format came into being in 2012, the wild card game winners have a better record than the number one overall seed in those first round games since that came into being in 2012. Again, it's a small sample size, but the wild card game winners are 14-12 against the top seeds, including 6-1 last year. Remember, the Angels didn't even win a game against the Royals, and then the Nationals lost 3 of 4 to the Giants. So I think that is a very instructive, I think, data point about just the value of that momentum and just staying sharp. I mean, the wild card game winners, I think, for example, they'll play on Tuesday, let's say, and even if it's the Astros. That's where, to me, the Astros have become a dangerous team a little bit if they win that game, because then all of a sudden, hey, they weren't supposed to be here. Now they've won that game on Tuesday, let's say, if they win it. Then they go to Kansas City, and the Royals now all of a sudden are a team that's supposed to win. And so I think that when you come into the favorites ballpark, knowing that you only really have to get a split and you'll feel really good about yourself, and you're not supposed to win anyway. I think there's a real danger in that. We saw that last year, obviously, in both wild card game winners going on to play in the World Series. So I think the one thing I would say, Stephen, as well, in addition to the momentum of the wild card, is I always like to pick teams that put the ball in play. I think that's the one thing where if you're like the Royals did last year and the Giants last year as well, the Giants, they typify this better than probably any team over the last decade, the last 5 years. I think you see a team that I wouldn't call it slump proof, but I think the teams that are really susceptible to having a really difficult offensive series, and obviously I live here in Michigan, so I saw it firsthand, the Tigers, where mm-hmm. they've had layoffs because they were not really a very athletic, create offense, a lot of guys that get in motion on the bases and steal bases and manufacture runs. When they had those long layoffs, they were always bad because they were a big swinging team that didn't really have a lot of dynamic elements to their offense. And that's why the Rangers, I think, potentially could be a dangerous team for the Jays to play because Elvis Andrus, his base running has gotten back, and Odor can certainly wreak some havoc on the bases a little bit. DeShields does that a little bit. And then, of course, they still have the power. So I like the offenses, Stephen, to me, that can beat you in a couple different ways, because if maybe the power is a little bit slow for a day or two because they're out of practice, the speed can sometimes save you a game, and I like those kinds of offenses. And the Cardinals, of course, are the same way. The Cardinals have been doing that certainly for many years, why they've been so good in the playoffs, is that they've never been too reliant on the long ball, and they're very, very good at manufacturing runs.
And, John, you pointed that out about the Texas Rangers, and one of the reasons I think it was hugely important, and this kind of got overlooked during the weekend, but to me, one of the reasons it was hugely important that Troy Tulowitzki was able to get back at it is you have to play good defense against Texas because they're baseball's version of a team that puts a full court press on you. I mean, that's just the way they are. And if you've got Tulowitzki and Goins, you are much better defensively than if you have Goins and Pennington. It's not even close.
Right. And Jeff, that's the way the Royals got to the World Series last year. That's mm-hmm. the way they got to the seventh game, is they played superb defense. And I think the Jays, you look at what they've done with Pilar and Revere and Bautista, one of the better defensive outfields, I think, in the game. Donaldson, we know what he does over at third. So, I mean, and Russell obviously does a very good job of controlling the running game behind the plate. So when you look at the totality of what the Jays can do, you're right. Defense is a huge part of their game, and sometimes it might be overlooked. We look at the power, and we have this conceptualization of what they are and say, oh, they just hit a lot of home runs. Well, they actually are one of the better defensive teams in the game, and the Royals, of course, are still one of the best defensive teams in the game as well. So I think you look at the way those two teams play defense, both the Jays and the Royals, I think that there's a very good case to be made that they may well meet in the ALCS for that very reason. And I think you're right. I mean, I saw that game on Saturday. I was there in Arlington. And that fifth inning rally that the Rangers had, they just built and built and built because the Angels didn't make a couple plays. You have got to make your plays. If you give extra outs in October, that's usually your downfall. And I think that the teams that have had success, the Cardinals, the Giants, you look last year, that Royals team, again, all very sound defensive clubs that simply did not give extra outs.
So handicap the LDS, the Jays Texas series here, John, and understanding that, though, both teams, Texas got hot down the stretch, very, played kind of similar, had similar numbers to the Jays, wins, losses the last month and a bit, struggled a little bit to close out the division at the end. But, if you look at now that we know that this is the matchup and we know essentially what the pitching matchups are going to be, break this one down.
You know, Stephen, I'm tempted, and I will say right now, I'll pick the Jays to win the series, but this is going to be a tough one. I think for a couple reasons. I think the one reason why I think the deciding factor for me in going with the Jays is that, of course, the Rangers had to use Hamels yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and so now they may have to bump up. They may have to go with either what's been an underwhelming right-handed starter, Colby Lewis or Yovani Gallardo, earlier than they want. And then, of course, they probably, if they go with their best starters, let's say right now, if they go with the guys that have thrown the ball the best lately, that would include three lefties. It would include Hamels, Holland, and Martin Perez. And if that's the case, you'd have to figure, if you're going to tell me the Jays are going to get basically four games in a five-game series in the division series and face lefties in four of those five games, you'd like their chances, right? Mm-hmm, just because of all the righty power. So I think that's one thing. I think the Rangers' bullpen was taxed pretty heavily down the stretch. I mean, they had to throw a lot of innings, and I think that there is a little bit of variability there. But then again, Stephen, I would say, too, the Jays bullpen, I think there are still, you know, it's been so good, really throughout the second half, but still some questions for me, because that's a very, very good Rangers lineup. And now all of a sudden Osuna has the one tough game over the weekend. How does he respond to that? It's going to be really interesting to see how that Jays bullpen comes out. I think it's a coin toss. I have serious concerns, I think, about both bullpens as well as they've pitched. I do have my doubts about both. And I think, as you guys were touching on earlier, I think David Price, he's got to be the Cy Young candidate, David Price, I think, if the Jays are going to win this series, because I think they're probably going to need him to win certainly at least once and maybe even twice. I just think that he is going to have to really – that postseason experience that he has, he's, of course, he's faced this Texas club, certainly in the playoffs before. So to me, he's a guy that's going to have to really come up and be huge for them in the playoffs.
And as much as the Texas Rangers are running out all those left-handed pitchers, it's got to be said that if you look at the meat of the Jays' order, Jose Bautista is a lifetime 198 hitter in Arlington. Edwin is a lifetime 193 hitter. Josh Donaldson's a lifetime 248 hitter in Arlington. So, and we know what that ballpark's like. But
right.
I mean, that just gets to your point. I think this is. Quite frankly, I'm not one of those people who looks at every series and goes, okay, it's going to go the maximum. But you know what? I think this series is going to go the maximum.
I agree. And I think it's going to be potentially the little things that decide it. Again, we talked about defense, base running. I would say when you talk about stolen bases, probably the Rangers might be a little bit more adept at creating that type of offense late in the game to tie a game or take the lead than the Jays, because the Jays simply, they've scored so many runs, they haven't really had to play those styles of games all that often. They basically, and who's to blame them? They basically keep running those guys up there and see when the three-run homer comes, which is obviously based on the fact that they won the division, a pretty good strategy. So it's really going to be interesting, guys. I mean, the postseason baseball is such a different – it's such a different style of play. It really almost, there are times it almost feels like a different sport than you play during the regular season. And I think the Jays, obviously they have a lot of veteran players on their team, so I'm sure they'll be ready for it. But it's interesting that they don't have a lot of veteran players that have extensive track records of success in the playoffs. I mean, they have a handful, but not really that many. So it's going to be very interesting to see how they respond to it. And as you say, listen, Texas is a place you should be able to be comfortable hitting. It's kind of funny to hear those numbers on those key hitters, because it's not what you would expect based on how talented they are, and of course the hitting environment there. And the other thing, guys, I would say is how do the Jays handle the atmosphere at Rogers Center on Thursday and Friday, especially Thursday? Mm-hmm. The first playoff game in Canada in 22 years, we know what that anthem, what the emotion is going to be like. At any point in time, does that add pressure, or do they use that behind them? That to me is going to be the interesting thing, because sometimes we've seen it before in baseball. Baseball is the one major sport, where you cannot play better by trying harder.
It's
often the worst thing you can do. And I think sometimes when players get in really emotional situations, they do try harder, and they overswing, and it's not good.
So I
think that's where David Price is a huge tone setter there, and just the at-bats, I think that deep breath is going to be so important, because we know what that place is going to be like on Thursday, and I'm just really interested to see how the hitters just handle that keyed-up atmosphere on Thursday night.
You know, I got a theory about that, though. It's been nuts down there for a month, right? It's been really nuts down there for a month. I think it might be a little less nuts on Thursday because of who's going to be there.
Well, and I also think...
It's because of the, suddenly you can't... Like, a lot of those people who got to those games in the last month, I guarantee you they couldn't get a ticket for the playoffs, or they couldn't afford a ticket for the playoffs. And I think it's going to be a different kind of a crowd and a slightly more sedate crowd than we've seen.
Well, I also think the other thing, too, it's going to be a more nervous crowd than we've seen.
True.
I mean, the crowds that we've seen at the Rogers Center down the stretch, I mean, they were just fueled by, my God, we're going to the playoffs. My God, we're going to the playoffs. Now it's, oh, my God, we're in the playoffs. Big difference.
We're supposed to win, right?
Exactly.
I mean, this is the way it looks when you you talk about, well, the Jays have home field, the Jays are the division champions.
Exactly. Now you're cheering for the favorites. You're no longer cheering for the team trying to get to the playoffs for the first time in 22 years. You're cheering for the team that is expected to advance through the playoffs. Listen, John, we're going to scoot. By the way, we're going to be hearing more from you. I understand you will be a guest on MLB Central and our postseason preview show tomorrow night from lovely Kansas City. I will look forward to that.
Yes, I will be there. And if the Jays prevail, Jeff, in round one, my hope is I will be visiting your beautiful city there for the ALCS. Yeah.
Dinner's on us.
All right, sounds great, guys. Looking forward to it.
See you, John.
It's John Paul Morosi, national baseball writer for Fox Sports. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-660-0590. Get to the phone lines. It's a Jeff Blair Show with Stephen Brunt on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right, welcome back to the Jeff Blair Show with Stephen Brunt. Glenn Healy of Hockey Night in Canada will join us at 10 o'clock.
Hockey, what's that?
You see, stop that. See, between you and Blundell, you're going to get me in trouble. It's hockey season as well.
It is.
Hockey starts on Wednesday.
This is the biggest sports week in the history of the universe.
It is. And as a result, Hockey Central will return today from noon to 1.
From parts unknown.
Baseball Central will be from 11 to noon on Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet 590, The Fan. So there you go. We'll find a balance. Don't worry about it.
So I've decided I've got my shorthand handicapping of this series. Would you like it? I figured this out when I asked Morosi, and he gave us a much more detailed answer.
Yes.
Here's my not detailed answer.
Okay.
If the Jays get B plus David Price, they win the series.
I'd go with that.
Yeah. Like on the David Price scale.
I think we'll know after game one. And what I mean by that is we'll know what David Price is like. If Roberto Osuna needs to pitch and the Jays win, I think they're going to be fine. I think game one is going to be really telling. But again, I can't overemphasize how important it is that Tulowitzki is back in the lineup defensively, because you saw those games in Texas. Texas likes to, they push the envelope.
Yes.
The Shields Jr. helps push the envelope. They've got a lot of guys to put the ball in play a great deal. You're going to have to play good defense. Having Troy Tulowitzki back just for his defense, to me, is crucial. I don't care if the guy gets a hit in this series.
I'm with you there.
If he gets a pop-up, I just want him catching the ball.
Yeah, and I think everybody saw the difference, right? Or they should have seen the difference, because even, like, Barney's a really good defensive second baseman, obviously not available for the postseason. But, you know, Goins and Barney is not Tulowitzki and Goins.
No.
It's not even, Goins and Pennington is not even close.
Let's go to Jason in Orangeville. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What's up, Jason?
Hey, guys. I really want to say how much I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
And first off, I want to say thank you to Mark Burley, because, to be honest with you, without his 15-7 record this year, we wouldn't even be having this conversation.
Well, without his innings. His innings are important, too.
Absolutely. And he was just a solid veteran in that dressing room. And things should have gone differently yesterday, but they didn't. But thanks to him for everything he did for the team. And if the veterans on this team are doing their job, then you know what? We have nothing to worry about come the games against Texas, because the veterans are going to settle everybody down. They're professionals, and they're going to do their job.
Jason,
go ahead.
No. I was going to say, let me ask you this. Why do we worry so much in Toronto?
Because you've got the best team in baseball over the last 2 months, bar none. And we can't just be confident. It's almost like our Canadian psyche gets in the way, and we just got to be nice to everybody, and we can't be cocky, and we can't just say, you know what, we're the best, and we're going to beat you. And that's what we need to do with this team, because, to be honest with you, that's what we are. So that's my take. I'd like to give a shout-out real quick, if that's okay.
Sure.
I'd like to give a shout-out to my pastor, Pastor Amos. He's listening right now when he should be working, because my wife will be doing all the work so that he can listen to this broadcast. Anyways, guys, thanks a lot.
Take care. It's always good to give a shout-out to a pastor, because you never know when you might need God on your side.
That's exactly right.
I mean, that's how I approach it. God, Jah. Every now and then, you need somebody on your side. The Spirit.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'll take any of them.
Exactly. Dimitri in Hamilton, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good, good.
Well, I think that we just need to forget the last five games and just trust the players that we have on this team. I mean, forget the season. It's a brand new season. It's a playoffs, and we just got to trust the characters that we have on this team. I'm confident that they're going to prepare themselves like professionals, and they're going to go in ready to win. And if they don't win, then and we lose the series against Texas, that's okay too, because we've got a great future ahead of us with this team.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny because Steven mentioned this off the air as well. The one thing that, I mean, I'm not even going to, well, I'm just going to mention this a little bit. The one thing to keep in mind about this Jays team is everybody's back, basically, except for Burley.
Except for Burley.
And, you know, Price, we don't know.
Strata, you don't know.
But everybody else is back. I'm hoping people don't have the sense that it's win this year or bust, because I don't think that necessarily has to be the case. Now, the American League East gets better next year because the Boston Red Sox, if they add some starting pitching, look pretty good. The Yankees,
yeah, they got to be transitional. They've obviously got some really interesting young players, Bird and Severino, but they got some guys who are, you know, at the other end of the scale. Right?
And if Baltimore doesn't re-sign Chris Davis and Matt Wieters, there's a work in progress. And I'll run up the cautionary flag right now. Tampa Bay, if they get all their pitching back, Tampa Bay could very well be Tampa Bay. But there's kind of a misconception out there, or a misperception, I guess, that this team is sort of built for the here and now only, and it is, but it's also built with an eye toward the future, which is quite frankly another reason that I'm surprised that Alex Anthopoulos hasn't already got a contract extension, but that's a story for another day. Tom in Waterloo, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Morning.
We can beat it to death. I'm going with the pitching. Our pitching's better than their pitching. We're at 333 the last couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they've come down to 375, but they're over 4 for the year. 4 doesn't win. And I think Houston and KC will probably beat each other up, I hope. But I think our pitching's going to come through for us. And we've got the 9. The 9 are out there. They're healthy and rested. And I can't believe how we just kind of floated into this year instead of, having to throw our closer 4 days in a row.
That's an interesting point. I wonder how people would feel if the Jays had been life and death to get in the playoffs and had to ride everybody down the stretch. I guarantee you, Tom, we'd be talking about, my God, do these guys have anything left in the tank?
Yeah.
We've come a long way from let's just have meaningful baseball. And all
that. Yes, we
can. Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah, that's true. When did meaning all of a sudden we put an
that's
ass-
all we want. That's, yeah. Just give us that, right?
Thanks, Tom.
Give us a pennant race.
That's right, meaningful baseball. Who knew meaningful baseball in September could be so, terrifying? Kalen Pickering, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Good morning, guys. First-time caller. I love the show, and I love your columns as well in print, online.
Welcome and thank you.
Thanks.
Well, I guess to put it in perspective, my wife said to me on Saturday after Osuna blew the save, when I was a little bit upset, she said, honey, when's the last time you were swearing at the TV at a Blue Jays game in September? Think about it.
That's true.
And wasn't Osuna blowing the save that kind of concerned me a bit? I mean, he's 20 years old, and I think that's the thing that's remarkable about him. The only thing that concerned me was that there were a lot of base runners left on, and that's the only thing I think with the Jays that, to me, is a bit of a concern, is that they got to cash some more of those guys in. They've gotten good production, though, out of the bottom part of the order, but, home field doesn't bother me. They got to get through a tough series with Texas. I mean, I'll be... If they get through Texas, I'm not going to worry about home field. I'll just be happy that they're playing in the ALCS.
Well, it's, and I understand the kind of the sense that opportunities get lost occasionally to see good base runners. But, taking the slightly wider view, this team has scored an insane number of runs this year.
Yeah.
And have an insane run differential. So most of those guys have been scoring one way or another. And I guess they could have scored more. They certainly could. Any team could have scored more. But the one thing... And it's not out of the question that in the postseason, teams with great offenses have those offenses dry up a bit. It does happen. It was like Morosi was talking about earlier. That is when it helps to be able to create when your big guys maybe aren't hitting home runs. But you know, this is a team that has actually scored runs in a lot of different ways, especially since the remake. You know, well, adding Revere, adding Tulowitzki. This is a team that can do a lot of different things right now.
Yeah, you know, to me, the way the bottom of the order came through down the stretch, the development of Ryan Goins into someone who's at least capable of putting the ball in play. Kevin Pillar kind of, you know, I mean, he had a tough stretch for a while, but he kind of got his offensive game back. Ben Revere, a guy who doesn't strike out, he puts the ball in play. You know, that's, yeah, we focus on the big three, but this is a lineup that I think is quite capable of winning a 2-1 game or a 2-0 game, a well-pitched game.
And they're going to have to do that.
And they're going to have to do that. I guarantee you there will be at least one game in this series where it'll be 2-0 or 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
There will be. Probably a game Cole Hamels pitches in. Jay in North York, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Hello, Jay.
Here's my problem or my question. Never in my life of following baseball have I ever heard of a starting pitcher like David Price going to be going on 11 days rest.
It's only happened one other time. I think Red Ruffing, I believe.
Well, that was before my time. And let me tell you, this is even more why more bells are ringing about it. Matt Harvey, who has already surpassed his quote-unquote pitch count, pitched this weekend.
Who did?
Edison Volquez.
Oh, Matt Harvey. Okay.
And they've quit. Edison Volquez came in. Dallas Keuchel has pitched. Johnny Cueto, who has a not so sure about how. Every single ace, every single starter, except David Price, has pitched.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and I don't think the Blue Jays will announce, because it absolutely makes no sense. He could have even started on Saturday and given 60, 70 innings instead of pitching this simulated game. I think something is wrong with him.
If something was wrong with him, you wouldn't pitch a simulated game. I can guarantee you that. I can guarantee you that.
What if he couldn't pitch one of his? All I'm saying is, why wouldn't he have at least come in to pitch 60 or 70 pitches for 3 innings to keep him sharp on Friday or on Saturday in games that were sort of meaningful? Estrada could have been moved up to Sunday. I'm just saying it's a concern. I don't know what's going on.
I don't think anything's...
Maybe he didn't have...
Yeah, I don't think anything's going on. I think you also need to look at David Price's track record. David Price hasn't had a great postseason track record. And part of the reason he's always been pitching in the 162nd game or the 163rd game. He's been playing for teams that have been life and death to get in or teams that have had to go to the wild card. Look, if there was a health issue with David Price, there's no way in hell he's pitching a simulated game. Because the last thing you want if you're John Gibbons is to say, well, guess what, guys? David Price is a labrum issue that we aggravated having him throw batting practice to Troy Tulowitzki. So, look, he has been, his effectiveness in recent starts hasn't been that good. 2 of 5 starts, he didn't make it out of the 6th inning.
Right, the weird game where both he and Archer got knocked around.
Yeah,
right?
And that was, I still believe that they were probably out celebrating Archer's birthday the night before. I truly believe they're in a patio someplace celebrating Archer's birthday. But, you know, again, John Gibbons didn't just pull this out of his ass. I'm sure this came as a result of a discussion with David Price and Alex Anthopoulos and Pete Walker. And if David Price really, as Brent has said, if David Price really felt he needed 60 or 70 pitches on Saturday to go, they would have.
And he would have been there. And
they would have put him out there.
And I wonder, Jeff, given the fact that he has had, you know, that the postseason David Price has not been like the regular season David Price, I think he's changing it up a bit.
Yeah.
I think he's saying, I'm going to try it. I'm going to do it a little differently this time. And, you know, I pitched a lot of innings. I always pitch a lot of innings. I'm going to see what happens, you know, if we, you know, if I kind of take it easy.
Well, and I think this is also, this is David Price's life. So I think there's a lot on, I think there's a lot on the table for him. I think he wants to be his best when he goes into the postseason. We will continue our baseball discussion, of course, at 11 o'clock with Baseball Central. Kevin Barker will join us. Shai Davidi will join us in the next hour. But when we come back, we're going to talk about hockey. It starts Wednesday, Leafs and Canadiens. Glenn Healy from Hockey Night in Canada will join us when the Jeff Blair Show continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.